Ham Forum, America's oldest program devoted exclusively to the radio amateur, presents It's History in Drama. Six years of Ham Forum. A birthday broadcast. Today we dramatize the high spots of the last 6 years of Ham Forum.
In the fall of 1934 and in the early winter of 1935, there was a faint buzzing in the minds of two gentlemen connected with this station, WILF. These gentlemen both held amateur radio licenses. Both felt it would be a great service to hams and radio in general if a program for all radio amateur operators could be inaugurated. One of these ops was an old-timer, W9CMZ, W.E. Phillips, then chief engineer of this station. The other was a young punk, by his own admission, W9MLH, Bill Livesey, then announcer on the WILL staff. Finally, one day in March, when the idea of a ham forum program was fairly well formulated in the minds of these two hams, they called on Frank Schooley, program director.
The idea of a ham program is all right, but what sort of an audience will we have? We could hardly justify a program on the basis of a handful of ham listeners.
There'll be more than a handful of ham listeners to this program, Mr. Schooley. All the boys on the 80-meter band think that a program like this would be just the stuff.
I'm not so sure, Frank, that the listeners will be confined to radio amateurs. There are droves of people who are interested in ham radio but who don't have licenses.
Who's going to be responsible for this program?
I'll take that on.
You're sure that you have enough material to fill a 15-minute period once a week?
I can talk about ham radio for 15 minutes any day.
Well, there's a 15-minute spot at 10:15 on Saturday morning. How would that suit you?
Fine business, eh, Phil?
Yes, that ought to do the trick. Now, we'll start next Saturday, and then we'll see if we can't get over.
And thus, Ham Forum, America's oldest program for the radio amateur, was born. We don't have any record of that first program, since that was before the day of prepared scripts, other than that the discussions hinged mainly about plugs for ham news from ham listeners. And there were letters, too, more than were expected, as a matter of fact. There were weeks when Ham Forum was a leading mail puller. WILL was operating then with a power of 1,000 watts on 890 kilocycles. In April of that year, Ham Forum QSOs were started, a novel idea that caught on like wildfire. Let's turn back the dial of time to a Saturday morning in April 1935 and join Bill Livesey and Eddie Post in the Chimes Tower of the University Law Building, now called Alkeld Hall.
Post, I sure hope that receiver works up here. We're just sticking our collective necks out if it doesn't.
Oh, the receiver's working okay, but if we don't have any listeners, we won't make any contacts. You know, maybe we should have fixed up a contact before so we won't get caught holding the bag.
Why, Eddie, I'm ashamed of you. You know we wouldn't fool the dear old radio public much. How much time have we left?
Less than a minute to go. Take it on the next bus.
I sure hope she works. Good morning, OMs. This is your Ham Forum program again with news and views of the radio amateur. Well, you know that we promised you a QSO contest on Ham Forum this week, and we didn't let you down, no, sir. We're talking to you right now from the Chimes Tower, where we have hooked up a receiver ready to contact someone of Ham Forum's listeners. W9ISV, our old friend and cord, is up here with me to manipulate the controls. By the way, Eddie, why do we have to come up here to the Chimes Tower to do this broadcast? As if I didn't already know.
Well, the main reason was to get a good receiving location out of the direct field of the WILL transmitting antenna, which is right over the studio building.
Okay, Eddie, and fine business. Now for that contact. Have you got your rigs all warmed up? Well, here we go. Ham Forum is calling any ham on the... let's see. Let's make it the 160-meter band to start with. Ham Forum calling anyone 60-meter ham. Ham Forum is calling CQ, CQ, CQ. Hello, CQ, to any 160-meter phone ham and tuning the band. Amform, returning to W9IAW, and good morning, OM. I suppose you realize that the thousands, yes, million listeners to Amform are listening to you. Well, you're putting in an FB signal here this morning, and I'm wondering just what kind of a rig you have out there.
So, Amform inaugurated one of its most popular features. But it was not to last for long, because the FCC soon clamped down on such activities by broadcast stations. But Amform went forward and turned to contests of various types. Who of the regular Ham Forum listeners doesn't remember the diminishing code speed contest? The tone guessing contest. And the diminishing signal contest. Nor will the tried and true Ham Forum listener forget the prizes that were offered. Especially the homemade Milkatron made by W9ISV. We wish we had had the clever instructions that W9CMZ and W9ISV concocted for that, too. In the summertime, when W9MLH, Bill Livesey, was not in school, W9ACZ carried on admirably, dispensing ham news as only Fred Wiley could dispense. In March of 1937, Phil, W9CMZ, left WILL for an engineering position in Chicago. It was a great loss to WILL and to Ham Forum, since it was Phil's driving spirit that kept the program going. His position as chief engineer was Phil from a ham out Iowa way, W9KJZ, on whose shoulders rested the Ham Forum programs since that time. Ham Forum was now an established institution at WILL, and even such awful poetry...
My old bottle, everybody makes fun. They say it was born in 1901. This may be so, but I'll bet it's still good for many a CQ yet. Its plate is warped and cherry red, and the filament gets dimmer with every sked. But what the heck, boys, what the heck? I still work Ozies and sometimes...
Yes, even with such awful poetry as that, Ham Forum survived. But there were hard days ahead. W9MLH, who had been practically the Ham Forum program for 3 years, left WILL for an announcing job in Honolulu. The gap left by his departure seemed almost too much to fill. Where else could we find an ad-lib artist who could fill up 15 minutes of program, especially when news was scarce? There could only be one answer, script for Ham Forum. Maybe you remember one of those early script shows. If not, listen to the Ham Forum broadcast of September 7th, 1938.
Ham Forum is on the air. Each week at this time, we present Ham Forum, the radio magazine of the air. Glancing through the table of contents, we find amateur news on page one. Some notes on feeding antennas on second page. Editorials are on page three. Page four contains information on new equipment. And then the last page is sprinkled with bits of ham gossip and oddities. There you have it. 15 minutes of news of, for, and by the amateur, presented at this time every week by the amateurs on the WILL staff. And now, page one, Ham News.
If you had listened further to that program, you would have heard...
And last but not least, we have page five, Ham Gossip, with Denny W9IAW.
We have this week's news of another old CW ham who has managed to gain self-esteem.
Yes, and Denny with Ham News. It was Denny who was to fill the shoes of W9MLH in dispensing news about the various hams within earshot of WILL. Ever since that day in September, 3 years ago, Denny has been Johnny on the spot with news for every Ham Forum program and at times has taken charge of the entire program. In October of that same year, Ham Forum took wings, or at least wheels, and was originated from the shacks of the various hams about town. We'll never forget the pleasant visit we had to the shack of W9HUM, who, by the way, was one of the leaders in Ham Forum programs. These programs came through WAUI, the shortwave mobile unit, just then put into service by WILL. In April 1939, Ham Forum changed time and went on the air at its present time, 1:15 Saturdays. At the same time, there was great interest exhibited in the program by members of CINTON, National Collegiate Radio Fraternity on the campus. Goodwin Peterson, Andy Humphrey, Stan Howell, Jack Jacobowitz, and many others from the CINTON gang faithfully helped with Ham Forum programs. At an informal meeting one Sunday afternoon...
I suggested this meeting to work out some plans for Ham Forum. I think that in this program, there's a wonderful opportunity to accomplish something for amateur radio. Jim, I wonder if you'll outline briefly the history and purposes of the Ham Forum broadcast?
Ham Forum, as you probably know, is about 4 years old. It was originated by my predecessor here at WILL, W.E. Phillips, better known as Phil, and Bill Livesey. At the time, the program was mainly to distribute ham news and provide general entertainment for the radio amateur. As the program standards of the station have progressed, so must the standard of Ham Forum broadcast progress. Any suggestions along this line will be welcome.
We've been discussing the problem with some of the rest of the boys from CINTON, and they all indicate that they are willing to cooperate in any program suggested.
Well, I've been thinking for some time that a tie-up between Ham Forum and CINTON would be to our mutual benefit. Perhaps we could work out some arrangement whereby...
And thus a new element was introduced into the Ham Forum picture. Affiliation with CINTON. Since that time, there have been many and varied Ham Forum programs.
Goodwin Peterson's dramatic skits depicting the rise of an amateur. Technical information on almost every phase of amateur radio.
Interviews with such notables as Professor Payne, Professor Brown, Professor Segerda, and many others.
A dramatic show depicting the history of amateur radio, presented as a feature of the Electrical Engineering Show.
Yes, there have been many Ham Forum shows. Some of them have been outstanding. Some of them have been average, and some of them, well, frankly, they stump. But in all, we feel that Ham Forum has done a good work during its 6 years of existence. What's in the future? Well, that's hard to say. But perhaps Stanley Howell, W9QAF, president of CINTON, who is here in the studio with us today, can give us some indication.
CINTON will continue to sponsor Ham Forum, and we will do our best to produce a high-quality program. But we cannot do it alone. We need your help. Unless you, the listening audience, give us your support, the only kind of broadcast that we can produce is the kind that we would like, or the kind that we think you would like. We want your suggestions, your comments, and your criticism. If you hear something on the program that you think is especially good or especially bad, write and tell us about it. That is the only way that we can know what you would like to have on the program, and we will do our best to act accordingly.
In the studio with us today are also numerous amateurs from the surrounding territory, all here to help us celebrate the sixth birthday of Ham Forum. And celebrate we will, for right in front of me is a gigantic cake with six candles on it, which will be cut and consumed just as soon as the program is complete. Appearing on the program today were Frank Schooley, Orinel Denhart, Andrew Humphrey and Jim Ebel as themselves, and Bill Kuznetsov as Phillips, James Cody as Livesey, Phil Spradling as Post, and Harold Mountner as Peterson. The script was by Jim Ebel, production and direction by Nat Cohen. Your narrator, Lou Williams.
Ham Forum is a regular presentation of WILL, the radio service of the University of Illinois in Urbana-Champaign.